We live in very difficult times because of this pandemic. We've had Sister Pat Fontenot come with COVID, and as a result of that, she and Steve have not been present for over a week and a half. Brother Bill Rao is in the hospital with COVID, and that's very concerning considering that he's had underlying conditions. He's over 90 years old in the hospital. It's evidently a pretty serious thing. We have the Enims. Both of them have COVID and evidently kind of a bad case of it. We've had others here in the congregation who've caught COVID and have recovered. Not only that, how many families here have been impacted by COVID? Many of y'all have quarantined as a result of exposure to COVID, and so it definitely has impacted you all. And our numbers actually are up from last Sunday. We had maybe around 20 last Sunday, and so it's getting better. And it's not only in this congregation when we think about families, surrounding families. We think about the Whiteheads, Elvira, being in the hospital, and now having to stay home and not have any contact for 3 months. Very serious. We had our dear sister, Rowena Legg. I don't know how many people remember the Leggs. Many of you do. Larry and Rowena. Larry was an elder here for several years. And if you remember Rowena, those who remember her, she's a very positive Christian, strong in the faith, very encouraging, smiling, laughing, joking. That was Rowena. Well, she passed away because of COVID back on December the 28th. And Larry, her husband's home with COVID. We have others. Carol's brother, Emery, has problems with COVID. He's on a ventilator. And last week it was reported that they took him off a ventilator. And they're very excited. He was able to breathe 1 hour without a ventilator. Great news. And many others have been quite impacted by the COVID. So we are living in difficult times. But how is that affecting your faith? You have personally, you yourself, how are you feeling right now at this moment as a result of this pandemic? Is your faith weakening? Are you questioning, where is God? This God who's loving, compassionate, and mercy, allowing our brethren that we pray for to be able to pass away? Are we doubting God and His providence, His love, and His care? Is it affecting our faith? And so we, brethren, we Christians, during this period of time, we should not be down. We should not be distressed. We need to turn to our faith. And this morning, we're going to look at a tool that we have, probably one of the most important tools we have to help us during these times of distress. And what we're going to look at this morning is about the hope that we have. The title of our lesson is Hope Should Encourage in the Midst of Trials. So we're going to be looking at hope, and hopefully it will encourage us to be stronger, to be the Christians that God expects us to be, not doubting, but growing stronger day by day. And our objective of our sermon is quite straightforward. If you're down in the mouth right now, feeling bad, distressed, anxieties, worries, our objective here is to strengthen your faith during this midst of this pandemic. We're going to be looking at quite a few verses out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is, we know, is a book talking about the excellencies, the superiority of Christ and His priesthood and many other facets. But we're going to find that there is a lot of information in the book of Hebrews about hope. And so this morning we're going to look at three things. First of all, we're going to look at what is hope, some attributes of hope, and some warnings. Second, we're going to look at some cloud of witnesses, people who we can look at as examples in the Bible who had hope, and look at them to help encourage us. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to look at three encouragements from a set of scriptures in Hebrews chapter 6. So let's begin looking at what is hope. Look at some attributes and warnings. If you look at hope in the dictionary, it's defined this way. A feeling of expectation. A desire for a certain thing to happen. We're very familiar with hope. I liken to think about hope like a telescope. Back in the old days when ships were going from country to country, they had a telescope. And the purpose of that telescope is they were heading toward a land. They would use that telescope. And they would look to see where they were headed and looking for that land they were headed to. So that telescope allowed them to see where they were going. But they had hope they were going to reach that land, and that telescope gave them the ability to look for that land. So hope is like a telescope. And we have a telescope like that, brethren. It is the Word of God. It is telling us where we're going. It is our telescope to see where we're about to go. And when we look at the Bible, there are many different hopes in the Bible. You recall the children of Israel. When they were wandering in the wilderness, they were hoping for that chosen land. Land of Canaan. Land flowing with milk and honey. They were promised that by promise made to Abraham. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. But they had a hope. One day they would be in that land. And many other different hopes. You have hopes today that the people that are sick, they would recover. You're hoping that this nation would get over this pandemic and the world would get back to normal. You have all those hopes. We have various different types of hopes. But I'm going to talk to you about only one hope. Our telescope says we have one hope. And that one hope is, turn to me with Ephesians 4:4. We know here as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian brethren, talking about the unity of the Spirit, that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And he defines what that unity is, the seven ones. You remember that seven ones? And in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, there we find there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Many hopes. The hope we're going to look at is there's only one. Our telescope is saying, is this one hope? Well, what is this one hope that we are to keep? The unity of the Spirit. Sometimes when we study Scripture, we know all Scripture is true. Words and phrases, the tense of the verbs, plural, singular, the Holy Spirit was very particular to be very accurate. And so as we study Scripture, there's information we can pick up, even though it may not be the subject at hand. And we have a really clear definition of what this hope is. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. We know Titus was a preacher in Crete, and Paul is writing to Titus, and he will define what this hope is. Now, it's interesting, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 2. This is what we call a salutation. As Paul is writing this letter, it's a salutation, it's an introduction, saying like, hi, how you doing, and all of these things. But within there, we find a good definition of what hope is. Start with me in verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of the chosen of God, of the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. Now note in verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. This hope, brethren, is eternal life. Very simply, it is heaven. So we need to take our telescope, and we've been doing this all the Christian life, is where we want to go to heaven. We know we look at Scripture as our telescope, and we're looking at a far distance. We want to be someday in heaven. It is our chosen land. It is the place we want to be. And we're going to be there for eternity. And our telescope also tells us what we got to do to make it there. There are certain qualifications. Faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Confession. Repentance. Baptism. Remaining faithful. So that's what our hope is. It is eternal life. That is the one hope. And that, by thinking about heaven, thinking about where we're going to go if we're faithful, that should encourage us during these times of distress. The other thing that's interesting about hope is, when you think about it, is hope is temporary. Think about it. So, for example, this description of the ship traveling this land, the telescope, they're looking, that hope, they're going to reach that land. Once they reach that land, they're there. No hope. And Scripture confirms that. Interesting, you think, well, hope, well, that should be eternal. It's part of God. It's eternal life. It's to last forever. No, hope is going to end. It's only temporary. And Scripture confirms that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8, verse 23. Let's look at verses 23 through 25. He says, as Paul writes, and not only this, But we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But note this, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what already sees? So what he's saying is, if you see hope, or in other words, you realize hope, it's gone, right? And when you think about it, that makes sense, right? Once we're in heaven, we no longer hope for heaven. Why not? Well, we're already there. So it's temporary. So Rowena case, probably all her Christian life, she was hoping to make it to heaven. She's in heaven now, best of my knowledge, being a faithful Christian woman. She no longer has that hope. Why? Well, she's in heaven. She's there for eternity. And so hope is temporary. But along with understanding what hope is and some of its characteristics, there are some warnings. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at a reading here from 12 through 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. This section here is about the danger of unbelief. And this is pretty important for us to consider here. We may have been confident in the past of making it to heaven. And we should still be confident. But during these times of a trial, it tests our faith, where we can be weakened. And so this section here has to do with the danger of that unbelief. And of course, we have that unbelief and we fall away, we lose our hope. Note here, and I'm going to, as we read through this, is note certain points as we go through here. Now, you remember the Ephesian letter. They were Hebrews. They were Jews. They were Christians. They were Jews. Who were Jews? Became Christians. But they have a Jewish background here. And the writer here begins in verse 12. And note this thing. Pay attention to each of these words. He says, take care, brethren. We need to take care during this pandemic. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we were asking earlier about, is your faith weakened? Are you doubting God's providence, his love, and his mercy? Having that type of thing is weakening your faith. And the warning here is not to do that, not to fall away from your faith, but be encouraged. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast, beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Well, it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. That's a quote from Psalms, referring back to the wilderness wanderings. You remember the children of Israel. They were the people of God. They had the promised land. They were delivered from Egypt. What happened to them? They became weak. They lost their faith. Their hearts became hardened. They provoked God because of their unbelief. Verse 16, for who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. We want to one day, brethren, enter into that rest. Enter into our, we might call it, our land of Canaan, our promised land. In this case, the physical, they were not able to do it because of unbelief. So too we must keep our faith strong, especially during these times. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at some other warnings. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll look at a few verses through this chapter 10. First of all, look at verse 23. Here he says, the writer writes, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Are you wavering? We'll consider who made our promises about this eternal life. It is God. And we know that God is faithful. He keeps his promise. Do not waver during these times. Drop down to verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And last of all, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So we should not shrink back. And it's pretty emphatic why we shouldn't, right? We have two choices, heaven or condemnation. Which one do you want? We clearly want heaven. Don't waver. Be strong. Don't let your faith waver. Hold fast to your confession. Don't doubt God's providence, his mercy and love. He's faithful to keep his promises. Yes, these are difficult times, but have faith in God that he'll carry you through these times. So, brethren, this is our first part about hope, its attributes, and warnings. So now let's look at some people in the Bible. I call them a cloud of witnesses, and we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. We know chapter 11 here in Hebrews, we call it the hallmark of faith. Many lists of men and women through Scripture who by faith did things, and they are put in this hall of faith. And the writer of Hebrews calls them in chapter 12, verse 1, a cloud of witnesses. So we have these people that have gone before us who had faith. But not only did they have faith, we're going to see here these different people here. They had faith, but they also had faith that God would give them the reward, give them the promise. And we'll note several of these people here. First of all, let's look at Abraham in chapter 11, and let's look at verse 10. We know about Abraham, starts in verse 8, talking about Abraham, by faith, Abraham. So, about Abraham, but note, look in verse 10. And we know Abraham was a man of faith. He was a friend of God. But look what the writer says about Abraham in verse 10. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Do you not see here that Abraham had that telescope and he would look at? He wasn't satisfied. He knew that things of this earth were going to pass away. And he had a greater purpose in life. Of course, he was following God. But he was looking. He was looking through that telescope. What was he looking? He was looking for that city whose foundation and architect and builder is God. What is that? That's heaven. Abraham was looking for heaven. But he was a man of faith. He did what God told him to do, but yet he was still looking for heaven. So let's look at another individual here in chapter 11. Actually, several of them. Look at verses 13 through 16. Here we have a section here about the same point he made. Now, up to this point in time, various people have been discussed. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. And note in verse 13, it says, all these died in faith. This may not only include these, but include the rest of the men and women mentioned in this chapter. But note in verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed they were strangers and exiles on earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking, note this, they are seeking a country of their own. And if they were thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So it was not just Abraham. All these who faith, they were also looking. They were looking through that telescope. What were they looking at? They were looking at heaven. They were looking for that city, that better country. Country and city made by God. He was the architect. That's the same city we're looking for. Same country we're going to if we stay faithful. So we find many of these people of faith, they were looking. Now drop down to verse 32. In the same chapter. We know here in this chapter 11, very specific cases are mentioned about people of faith. When we get toward the end here, the writer then kind of goes through a rapid firing of a bunch of other people. that he doesn't give specifics, but he gives them by name. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets. And so there are many more. And what about all those? Look at verse 39. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And they were looking for heaven. They were looking for the Messiah. Of course, at this time, it would be he was still in the future. But by faith, they were looking, just like all these other ones that we mentioned. So my question to you is, during these times of trial, how are we going to uplift ourselves? How can we put a smile back on our face? A step, you know, being more happier and being more faithful and stronger. Very simple, easy task. Look at heaven. Think about it. One day I'm going to be there. Look through that telescope and read scriptures about it, like we're doing here this morning. Strengthen us, encourage us, help us, uplift us during this time of trial. So these cloud of witnesses should be an example to us and give us strength. If they were able to do it, why can't we? And we should be able even more, right? We have the promise of Christ. We have Christ our Redeemer. We have the full record. We have the Word of God. Of all people, we should be looking more intently because we have it all. We've received Christ. We got the Scriptures. We have our brethren here. We have so many spiritual blessings that Keith was talking about, all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We have all that. Yes, time of trial, but we should help our this topic about hope should help us. So the last part of our sermon this morning here, let's look at three encouragements from Hebrews chapter 6. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at verse 17 through the end of the chapter. First of all, what I'd like to do is go ahead and read. Actually, we're not going to read through the 17 through 20, chapter 6, 17 through 20, through the end of the chapter. And what I'll do is go ahead and read all these scriptures, and I'm going to back up. I'm going to look at three lessons that we can gain from this set of scriptures. Let's go ahead and read 17 through 20. For in the same way, God desired even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purposes, interposed with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Three lessons we can gain from this particular section, and probably more, but we're going to look at three. The first one we want to note here is in verse 18. One thing we know about the Christians, the Hebrew Christians that the writer writes to, is they were undergoing persecutions. They were physical persecutions. Some were abandoning the faith. Some were not growing in the faith. And so they were under distress like we are. And as the writer says here at the last part of verse 18, what does he tell us about this hope? He says to take hold of this hope. We need to take hold of this hope. We've got the hope here. Take hold of it. Get a grasp firm of this hope. Take hold of it. Are you taking hold of the hope that you have? He says, well, how do I do that? We know the hope is not physical, but we are to take hold of it. Well, how do we take hold of it is pretty obvious, right? We do that through faith. We know that as we study and read about hope, and through our faith and our trust in God that he will fulfill it, that's how we take hold. The more reading we do, the more meditating we do, the more thinking about it, the more praying to tell God, help us through this. Tell him we know we have this hope. Help us during this time of distress. And you see here in verse 18, it's clear here that it says that they have, talking about the Christians here, they have taken refuge. Refuge are people that are under distress, just like we are today. They're under distress. Well, take hold of that hope. Now, he goes on and says here that in verse 18, so we take hold of that. It's set before us, right? We're talking about it. There's no question of what this hope is. It's set before us. It is clear as day what this hope is and how to achieve it. It's set before us, but we need to take hold of it. We need to read, study it, believe it, and have the trust in God. Now, one thing interesting about this here, about this hope, if we drop back to verse 17, it says, in the same way God desired even more to show to the heirs of the promise. So you're down in the mouth because of this pandemic. Do you recognize, and I know you know this, but think about it, you are heirs. You are sons and daughters in Christ. You are heirs. Heirs receive an inheritance. What is this inheritance? That's what we're talking about. It's heaven. So we have an inheritance. God's given the faithful Christian an inheritance. That's heaven. It's something that we are going to receive. It's part of our reward. And so as we hear this first point here, we see is we need to take a hold of it. We need to believe it. The second lesson we see is in verse 19. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, in the Bible, the word soul can be used of many different things. Soul doesn't have the same meaning everywhere the word soul is being used. Normally, when we think of soul, we think of, well, that's our eternal soul, right? We're going to go to heaven. It's going to be us, our eternal soul. But soul can be used in other ways. Soul can be used of your disposition. It's how you feel. It's your innermost being. And I believe that's what it has here, or what it means here. That's what it's talking about here, about that is the anchor of your soul, of who you are. Not talking about your eternal soul, but your disposition and how you feel. Soul can be used in that way. And the way he describes that is an anchor. Hope is an anchor. We know when ships sail, one of their most important devices on a ship, even in today's modern ships, is the anchor, right? They didn't have an anchor, that ship could be destroyed. It could be tossed around. The winds could drive the ship into another ship or drive it into the land or into the, the shore, the seaport. I mean, you could lose all navigation. The ship could overturn. Anchor is very, very important for a ship. Well, that's what hope is to the Christian. It is our anchor. And he goes on not only in verse 19 to say it's an anchor, using a metaphor, but he also provides some words here about kind of saying the same thing, but in different words and very direct. This hope is both sure and steadfast. Do you have any doubts that heaven's not going to be your home? You might say, well, if I'm faithful, well, you can be faithful to the end. God's given you all the means to be faithful. If you don't want to be faithful, it's because of your own will. It's not because of something outside of your control. So this hope we have, it is sure and steadfast. There should be no doubt. And as we think of life, life is just temporary, right? As I grow older, it's amazing to me how fast time changes. There was a movie a long time ago we watched called Something Wicked This Way Comes. I don't know if you remember that. But they had a very vivid illustration in this movie here. They're talking about time. And they had pages of a book turning. That was time. And then the pages kept going faster and faster and faster. And then as you get older, you'll see that that's how time is. You know, when you're young and you got families, you know, time, it seems to go along. But then when your children leave, well, time's picking a little bit faster up. Then when you retire and you're old, time is really flying by. Brethren, before you know it, life's going to be over. And it could come unexpectedly. But this hope we have, it's sure and steadfast. You're going to be in heaven. You should have the assurance and the confidence. And that's what hope should do for us during this time. Now, the other thing to think about here, and it's obvious here, is to note who is behind all this, right?
In verse 17, in the same way, God, right? Verse 18, talking about God, it's impossible for God to lie. Who's put his pledge behind it? Who's put the surety that this is going to happen? It's the Almighty. Do you doubt the Almighty's going to fail? He's not going to succeed in getting you to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, you're going to make it? It's God who's putting the confidence and the surety that these things are going to happen. And so, brethren, this should give us a tremendous help here, that this hope is an anchor for our soul. It should encourage us and strengthen us. The third point here in this section here that should give us encouragement is the last two verses here, and that is about Jesus. And it actually describes Jesus in the context of hope. In verse 20, he says, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner. We know what a forerunner is. Forerunner runs before the other runners, right? We're all running to heaven. There's someone who's gone way before us. That's Jesus. He is a forerunner. And very vividly described, where did he go? Last part of verse 19, he says, and one... That tell you who the one is, you find out in verse 20, and one which enters within the veil. Remember, these are Jews. Their temple. Remember the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest could go enter the veil. That was between the Holy of Holies, separating from the other rooms. And we know the high priest could only enter there once. Well, someone, this one, has gone within the veil, in the Holy of Holies, talking to the Jewish Christians here. And then it goes on to tell us that he's entered that. And it's clear what that is, right? The veil is heaven. That's where Jesus is at. He is our forerunner. And the significance of him entering into the Holy of Holies, what did the Holy of Holies represent? Remember the high priest could only go there once a year? The Holy of Holies, according to the Jew, represent in the very presence of God that you have intimate fellowship and communication with God the Almighty. And that high priest is only allowed to do that one time per year. Well, Jesus entered into this Holy of Holies. Of course, he's God. He has intimate fellowship, communication, relationship with God the Father. Well, where are we going to go? We're going to go to the same place. We're going to have the same type of relationship with God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We're going to have this intimate relationship. We're going to be in heaven, the Holy of Holies. And we can't imagine that. We finite people. What is that like? How's it going to be? What is he going to look like? How are we going to feel? How do we approach him? You know, a lot of unknowns we don't know. All we do know, our telescope is telling us that if we're faithful, we're going to be there with Jesus and with all the saints that have gone before us and all the faithful. And so we have Jesus here returned to heaven, and he's leading the way. And we call ourselves Christian, right? Followers of Christ. Are you following Christ to heaven? He's giving you instructions of how to do that. So this lesson this morning, hopefully it will be an encouragement to you. So we've looked at, first of all, we looked at hope and its attributes and warnings, knowing this hope is eternal life. We can fall away. We need to be careful. We know this hope is eternal heaven. We looked at these cloud of witnesses. The Holy Spirit put these in there for a purpose. To encourage, to strengthen us. We know the Old Testament was written for encouragement. To encourage that they did it. You can do it too. I can do it too. There's nothing to prevent us from make it to heaven. And last of all, we've seen these three encouragements from Hebrews chapter 6. And it should really strengthen us during this time. And we are human. We are infected by worries, anxieties. Things can get in our way. But we have the ability to overcome that. By studying Scripture, by being strong as a result of our study, by praying and helping each other, so that we all one day may make it to that eternal home, heaven. So, brethren, as you look through that telescope, do you see heaven? We know that there are certain requirements to make it into heaven. You know what those are. But since what I'd like to leave you with here as we wrap up the sermon, a verse that Doug read in the Bible class, but I'd like to go ahead and read it now as we think about hope and how we are to live And if you would turn with me, our last passage will be 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So during times of trial and stress, and the pandemic, how should we be? Paul writes to the Corinthians as he wraps up this section. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." What you are doing in serving Christ, serving your brethren, serving your fellow man, the work that you do does not go unnoticed. It is part of our Christian life. God recognizes it. Of course, it's not the merit of those things that will get us to heaven, but by our faith and by His grace and His providence we'll make it. But He does expect us to be busy. He expects us to be strong. During times of trial that we go through, it should really strengthen us. If you're getting weaker, think about reversing that. We should be growing stronger, praying more, studying our Bibles more, be improving our relationship with our between husbands and wife and the parents and the children, between our brethren. Of course, it's kind of hard to do it with the social distancing and limited contact through notes. So we need to be people of light. We need to be people of strength. God has provided us all the tools that we need to do it. He provided us scripture. And hopefully this morning, this lesson on hope will help us through this pandemic. Not only through this pandemic, but help us through the rest of our life. If there's someone here this morning who needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.